This is Napkin Scribbles, a podcast by Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet. Today's Napkin Scribble is sponsored by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. Now here's Leonard Sweet.
Welcome to another installment of Napkin Scribbles, the 20th letter of the alphabet of a new primer for a common humanity based on a Jesus human. And what a Jesus human would look like in a common humanity using the vocabulary of the entire world. Today we're up to T, and we're going to do some French today. Maybe a little Swiss, but some French. Terroir. A terroir human. And so you're going to get some Swiss names as well as a terroir focus, because terroir refers to the complete natural environment in which grapes for wine are grown. That's how it started. What's the climate in which the wines are produced and aged? You include factors such as soil, topography, everything about the weather. And terroir has become a shorthand for talking about a sense of place in a world of placelessness, in a world of nowhereness, in a franchise world. Now, wine growers in Europe were key. Part of the ratings was what kind of terroir did it. Could you actually taste the soil of this wine where it was grown? And the concept of terroir is becoming more important in the U.S. and other nations. And it's used, as I'm doing here, far beyond now its original vinery context. There is no exact translation of terroir from its French language origins. It can either refer to a terrain as broad as an entire region or as narrow as a few rows in a specific vineyard. But for me, it's a metaphor. And it's important because, let me give you one little example here. A few years ago, I was asked to speak in Switzerland. And the deal was that I would speak to seminary students and to some churches and some conferences. And then I would have time to travel to see different places in Switzerland. And they would arrange all of that. You know, where did I want to go in Switzerland when I had my days off? So they set me up. I said, okay, this sounds like fun. You know, let's do this. So they set me up with a local guide. And they said, okay, here are some of your possibilities. They mentioned, you know, the Geneva and Zurich and Lucerne and Interlaken and you know, all the Bern, all the ones that you all know about and I know about. But I said, no, here's where I really would like to go. And by the way, this was not a Swiss vendor. This was an American vendor of these Swiss sites. I'd like to go to Appenzell. I want to go to Gruyere. I want to go to Emmental. I want to go to Gestad. I want to go to Chateau Neuf. Can we do all of those? And my American vendor here goes, what are you talking about? What are those places? You don't want to go to, you know, the major, you know, villages and cities and Switzerland. I said, no, these are the ones I'd really like to go to. And he said, well, I'll try it. I'll see if the people we're working with here in Switzerland can accommodate you. And so I said, well, just if they can't, you know, I'll understand that we can go to places like Geneva and Bern and Lucerne and Interlaken, but just see if they could do it. And within a couple days, this vendor, the mediator, got back with me and said, I have no idea what you did, but they are so excited to meet you just based on your picks. He said, what in the world did you pick? Because they all said, oh, this guy really knows us. He really understands who we are. We can't wait to meet him. Let him tell us where he wants to go and we'll take him wherever he wants to go. We can't do all of those, but we can do a couple of them. And he said, so what did you do? And I said, well, I love cheese. I'm a aficionado of cheese. And I said, in fact, the Swiss have an identity as a nation. You got four different languages in this country. They got mountains separating one place from another. What ties the whole nation together is its pride in its cheese. I said, this is a cheese culture. And I said, the Swiss hate us because what we've done to their cheese. The Swiss know no such thing as Swiss cheese, a bland cheese with holes in it. And so I just gave you the names of some of my favorite villages where cheeses, this cheese is produced. And I like to go and just experience the terroir of where these unique cheeses are made, and just meet some of the people that are making them. And this is the whole point of terroir. Every cheese tastes different because it is grown out of different soil, out of different climate, out of different winds, out of different minerals. And in case of Gruyere, of course, these out of caves. Where you actually walk in the cave and you're breathing the spores that you can see in the air. Now, one of the reasons I think that this word terroir is so important for the future. Genealogy is big business because issues of identity are front and center in a culture adept at vaporizing identity. We hear it said over and over again, be you, but be you presupposes we know who you is. Do we know who you is? And how do we know who you is? Then, if you know who you is, how do you know how to be you? And one of the hardest learnings in life is learning to be you, to be who you are. Living and learning your terroir. The pre-modern self emerged, and there was barely one, so it may not even be legitimate to talk about self in the pre-modern world. But it emerged out of the commons of family, tribe, and guild from the outside in. The modern Western self was self-constructed from individual interiors outwards. The current reigning self is the internalization of the collective, the self borged and branded from consumer, celebrity, culture, and social media. Now, the Greek word for disciples is Mathetes, which also translates as learners, students, pupils, followers. And one of the learnings from the one who said, learn from me, is to learn from Jesus your unique terroir, to be who you are. John Updike liked to say that America's one vast conspiracy to make you happy. The Gospels are a divine conspiracy to set us free to be who we are, an original artistic creation of God. A human being is not a human resource, but a human gemstone, a human terroir, an original masterpiece of divine artistry, an incarnate faith, soma, in the flesh faith, takes the form of the faces and features, the music and meals of the cultural context in which God has placed you and me. So the one who made us who we are is the best one to show us who we are, and who we can become. Who told you that you were naked? Remember that question? Who gets to define us? Who gets to establish our identity? Who told you who you are? The Creator told us who humans truly are, and the Creator is the only one to whom humans should listen. God puts us in our place and places us in a one-of-a-kind constellation of genes, cultural contexts, landscapes, streetscapes, townscapes, soundscapes, inscapes. And the more humans find their identity in Christ, the more uniquely placed a human becomes and the greater the terroir. If you've met one Jesus human, you've only met one human. That's all. The paradox is that in finding one's identity in Christ and incarnating that identity in your context, you become more yourself as you become more a little Christ, which is the meaning, literal meaning of Christian. Human identity requires being vintaged. And vintage means the terroir of time and the smellscapes of the past. History is not the same as heritage. Heritage is history shaped to present. To be vintage is to confront history honestly, not to denigrate our ancestors and castigate them for their mistakes and misdeeds, or to burn effigies of our predecessors who vanished behind various constructs, categories, theories, but to cultivate a mature understanding of the past and to hope that its waywardness will not be repeated or celebrated. History writing is an identity-forming activity where demographics is not destiny. For a Jesus human who follows the manger gift, no matter how floral, fruity, minty, nutty, pungent, sweet, or woody the smell, we all have a base of the barnyard in us. And that's the terroir of the Savior, who came not to be served, but to serve.
Thank you for listening to Napkin Scribbles. This episode contains notes and thoughts from Jesus Human, Primer for Common Humanity, Dr. Leonard Sweet's latest book, which can be found on Amazon.com. Remember, Napkin Scribbles is brought to you by Portland Seminary of George Fox University. For more information, join them on the web at portlandseminary.org. For Arthur and Professor Leonard Sweet, happy scratching and scribbling.